Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As we know, they don't. They make legal representation so expensive and so high, and they know that brown people and black people can't afford it, which is why half of our brothers are sitting in jail right now, because they can't afford legal representation. I got them. Like, I'm coming full flesh, like, swing, y'all. I'm swinging when I come out of here.
If you have a fuck you, don't get stressed out in these horrible times. Here at Black at Work Pod at gmail.com, or you can also go online, Black at Work Pod, and submit anonymously through our submission form. Today, our fuck you comes from the anonymous angry black woman. I work at a Fortune 500 company, and a few black folks began asking for Juneteenth off in our black ERG employee resource group. We created an idea on our internal idea board and have almost 3,000 votes under 48 hours of creating it. Wow. We all thought it would be an easy thing to implement, get our organization good press, etc. Typically, ideas get implemented with under 100. Our chief D&I officer replied and gave us a long answer for a no. She told us that other holidays, she mentioned Diwali and Lunar New Year, aren't holidays, so we shouldn't get it off. Like, what the fuck? Those are festivals and celebrations, not Independence Days that are a part of American history. We were not free when this country was founded. Then she had the nerve to say we could use PTO, knowing full well many black folks are in servicing and cannot get a day off approved within a week's notice. We are all pissed and angry at her insensitive reply, especially given recent events and most of us working well over our limits. We did this shit democratically, and they still found a way to keep us down. Fuck black folks in leadership who don't use their power to speak for us. They say we support black employees externally and say they'll donate to BLM, but all they offer internally are shitty ass 6-month plans that involve us improving relations with the police and racial sensitivity courses. Like that changes anything. Nah, we told you what we wanted that you could do right now to make us feel supported. Fuck y'all.
Big fuck y'all. No, seriously. Y'all know y'all can give niggas Juneteenth off.
Girl, for real. And actually, Nike, shout out to Nike. They are giving their employees Juneteenth off with pay.
So is Twitter and Square. Jack Dorsey, he owns Twitter and Square. He's giving them Juneteenth off. It's, a number of companies have made Juneteenth a holiday. And good. They should.
Right. Yeah, fuck them. I'm with you, anonymous, angry black woman.
Oh, you know what? She sent an update. That's what the update was for. I didn't notice that.
Oh, okay. All right, so update. So our internal petition actually got up to 3,000 employees, and our company finally decided to give us the day off without us using PTO if we wanted the holiday off. Shaking my head. But now they're acting on LinkedIn like they really worked so hard on this. We fought tooth and nail to get this recognized, and it won't even be a company paid holiday. It's just if we want the day off, we can take it without it coming out of our PTO bank. Still disappointed because they haven't said Black Lives Matter in any post.
Honestly, this might be petty of me, but I don't feel like white people should get Juneteenth off. I feel like that should be a special black ass holiday for black ass people everywhere. No, I'm serious. You don't deserve to get Juneteenth off.
For what, bitch? For what work have you done? You didn't work to get free, and you didn't work to get recognized. Hell no. That's why I feel the same way about white people taking off for MLK Day.
Take your ass to work. Then you know what? On the holidays that we should get off, all white people should have to work. Go to work.
I'm with you, friend. Like, I totally agree. Look, if we can't get reparations, the least we can do is get Juneteenth off and we can have it by ourselves. Like, y'all don't need to be with us. Like, y'all, yeah. But, and the thing is, y'all be so pressed. Y'all, you know, in the back of y'all head don't like us and all that, but y'all show gonna take off on MLK Day. Y'all don't be raising y'all hands to go to work.
Right. Oh, they be off, you know, girl, going on trips, canoeing, and just skiing. Y'all don't even know who Martin Luther King is. Bitches.
Girl, I am so done. Okay. Oh, Dana, you are hilarious. All right, y'all. So we have another fuck you. By the way, thank y'all for sending so many fuck yous and submissions to the website. This is awesome.
Y'all sent us hella fuck yous, and we're going to read most of them. We'll save some.
So I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if she wants me to. So she says, fuck you. I got a hard fuck you. For real, I'm about to lose my job. Okay. My company's executive team has been silent as fuck about everything going on in the world. Like, completely silent. Nothing on social media, nothing to us POC. Then when I spoke up, they tell us it's because they didn't know what to say and they want to do something instead of say something. But like, you did do something. You stayed quiet. Now you're trying to make up for it.
Our coworker was so motherfucking mad. She opened up her iPhone and was like, you know what the fuck? I'm a write black at work.
Exactly what she did. Okay, I'm done with that.
No, a coworker, no, for real. Fuck them. And they did do something by not saying anything. Like, I'm, you know what? Like we said last week, okay, Black Lives Matter is suddenly okay to say. Now, and we got all these companies coming out saying, oh, hashtag Black Lives Matter and all of that stuff. You do know what to say. Your white counterparts have given you guys scripts. Y'all know what the fuck to do. You know where to donate your money. If you don't know what to say or what to do, then make your donation public. Say company X donated $25 million like Lowe's did to help black business, small black businesses reopen after COVID. Like, put your money where your mouth is, big corporations. You can do or say something. So yeah, fuck you to your job too, coworker. Fuck them.
Yeah, I'm with you, coworker. Yeah, it's a lot going on and we appreciate y'all sending y'all fuck yous. This is the place where we all go to the stereo to scream. So hey, we all screaming, child.
Screaming. All right, so I guess we can go ahead and get into the water cooler. So since we have a wonderful guest this week, I'm gonna try to keep it light today, y'all. You know, we ain't gonna be talking about too much of the bullshit. But Offset was clown this week for going out to vote in the Georgia primaries for the first time. It was his first time voting. He made a video and posted it to his social media, encouraging his fans and followers to use their rights and go out and vote. So I thought that was really cute, Offset. You know, he got praise from a lot of people, but you know, a lot of people were like, why is this nigga voting? Y'all niggas is on one. I know people have their beliefs or distrust in the system, and rightfully so. Like, we shouldn't trust they asses. You know what they do to us. But my people, our ancestors literally died so that our voices can be counted and we can vote. And honestly, that's enough for me to get the hell out and do what I need to do. So shout out to Mr. Set for setting an example. Y'all know that's my boy.
Come on, Set, setting an example. I'm still in fact that this is his first time voting. But hey, a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of black people don't feel the need to vote. They also don't feel like when they vote, it does anything. All these conspiracies and, you know, myths with black folks and them not voting. But like you said, it is our right. It is our duty. We have to get out here and vote. Like you said, our ancestors fought, died, got sprayed with water hoses, was attacked by dogs, you know, just so that we could vote. and so that we could have a say so. So shout out to Offset. I'm glad he's using his 3 million, however many followers he got, for some good and encouraging folks to get out there and vote.
And hopefully y'all listen to him and stop clowning this man for voting. Come on, y'all.
You don't got nothing else to do. Like, let me get my ass out here and vote.
Right. Well, today in big fucking loser news, the white man's president sent a cease and desist letter to CNN over a poll that shows Joe Biden with a wide lead. Nigga, get over yourself.
Wow. You are lying to me.
I'm not. I wish I was, but fuck him.
This man, every day is something. It is, really? You send a cease and desist to CNN?
It sounds ridiculous, but it sounds just like him. He's fucking ridiculous. And speaking of the bitch in chief, he was having his first campaign rally, heavy emphasis on the word rally, because we really know this is just a fucking Klan meeting. But anyway, his first Klan meeting stop was supposed to be on Juneteenth in Tulsa, Oklahoma, of all places. For those of you who don't know about the once thriving Black Wall Street in Tulsa, in 1921, a group of whites with inferior DNA decided to murder over 300 Black men, women, and children and burn down all of their businesses, their houses, their churches, their banks, their schools, and much more. Like anything that was in this area full of Blacks, they burned it down and they killed every living human being in that area. And none of the people who ended lives that day ever saw a lick of justice for their crimes. We are celebrating the end of slavery, and you want to bring the Klan to this site on this day? Really, my nigga? Juneteenth, my nigga? Like, maybe some of the whites who support him but swear they're not racist must have got to his ear, because he moved his Klan meeting to another day out of respect. But fuck you, dude.
Fuck you. I saw that. I saw his little tweet talking about my Black friends don't. First of all, I can't even believe he has the audacity to even pick his lips to say Black friends. But you know, he got some Uncle Toms that they coon with, you know, and the foolery that they got going on. I ain't got nothing to do with that, but child, I said my Black friends thought it was a better idea for me to. Why you keep laughing every time I say them?
Girl, because it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous though. It's so bad. Like, his Black friends, I'm gonna say it again, wanting him to, out of respect for them, he's going to go ahead and move it. And then not move it next month, not move it a couple days. He moving it to the next day. Like, you ain't even giving it a full 24 hours. Like, I'm moving it to June 20th. Oh, okay, great.
His campaign staff, as we already know, is tone deaf as fuck. So what can we expect from these motherfuckers? Like, this is the norm. But anyway, in more beautiful news, shout out to Tiana Taylor and her husband, Iman Shumpert. They announced Friday that they're expecting baby number two. So congrats to them. Her snapback finna be on point. I don't even want to talk about it, but congratulations to this beautiful Black couple and family.
Congrats, Tiana, and she, her body is always.
Do I sound bitter? Because I am. I want her body.
Especially after just having a baby.
Okay. Anessa, do you watch The Bachelor?
I don't, but I did hear.
Yeah, okay. So for the first time in its 18-year history, The Bachelor names Matt James as his first Black male lead. Look at y'all realizing Black Lives Matter and trying to be diverse. But fuck out of here. We didn't forget that discrimination lawsuit that was filed against ABC in 2012, where they literally argued that they had a First Amendment right to exclude people of color as a creative decision. Oh, but now Kelly Burke, who is the president of ABC, said, "We know we have the responsibility to make sure the love stories we're seeing on screen are representative of the world we live in," and blah, blah, blah. She said some other shit, but bitch, we ain't forgot. And I'm not watching no way, because homeboy is looking real sunken, okay? He looks like the sunken place is his home address. I'm telling you.
And I'm sure in true Bachelor fashion, they're only going to have about two, maybe three non-white women to choose from. Anyway, so congrats to James and the Karen that he is sure to choose. And congrats to making history, brother.
Baby, these reads, baby, I'm so reads right now. Hold on now. Did you write any of Nene's reads on this reunion, this past reunion, friend? Because I'm here for it. She said address is the fucking place.
I did not.
Because you know what? I did go to his Instagram. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Because I was like, let me go see. And nothing against, you know, multiracial people, but he do got a white mama. So, I mean, he's mixed. He's white and black. Could they have not gone and got 100% nigga?
Come on. You know what? I didn't even. You know what? Fuck this story. Let's move on. This don't even count.
Right.
Anyway, them boys are at it again. This time in Florissant, Missouri. For those of you who don't know, Florissant is right next to Ferguson for context. So the Florissant police was caught on a homeowner's ring light camera running down a black man with a police SUV. Baby, my people have been protesting. And shout out to my cousin Pooh. She lives behind the Florissant police station. And she be mad as hell because she can't drive down her street. She be having to park like hella blocks down and walk through the protest to get to her driveway. But she ain't mad. She with the shits heavy. So shout out to my cousin. But the Florissant police announced that they fired the detective. But we want criminal charges, so we still out here protesting, child. My cousin say they done turned the protest into a block party. Niggas got cheers, barbecue, earth, wind, and fire. Y'all know how we get down. But fuck Florissant police, you heard me? Everybody I know has been fucked around by St. Louis County Police, myself included. Y'all gonna fire somebody for running over a whole body with a vehicle but not charge them? For what? If the ring light hadn't caught the shit, would y'all haven't even said anything? I hate these motherfuckers.
Nope, nope, and nope.
Yeah, they just terrible. So the protests are still going on, and they have been nonviolent mostly in Florissant. But my cousin said that the police are out there trying to agitate people and start stuff. They got helicopters out there shining lights in people's faces unnecessarily and stuff like that. So everybody out there in Florissant protesting, you know, keep going. Homeboy needs to be charged, not just fired. He needs criminal charges. You literally attempted murder, bro. You need to go to jail.
I'm just, you know, this story, along with so many others, it just makes you think, like, what all is happening that we don't even know about? You know what I mean? Like, if there are not cameras around, nobody, it's like these white people get away literally with murder. And it's sad.
What? We know this. I mean, we just finished talking about Tulsa. They hung somebody. And I wish I had that story, but somebody was hung.
I heard
like 2 days ago. You heard about that too? Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that. But like, I feel like now there's so many different stories and so many people's names that we have to say. And it's just like, at what point is it going to be regular for us to be able to live regular? Just like y'all.
Right.
Like, why does every traffic stop have to be, oh my God, am I going to die today? Like, this is just too much. And y'all got niggas out here rolling over people with police cars. What did that meeting look like for y'all? You brought them in. Look, you ran over a person, so you're fired. That's it. You're not putting them in handcuffs. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
It's sad. It's ridiculous. Speaking of, did you hear about Live PD? Do you watch Live PD?
Mm-mm.
Live PD, it's like a show that airs live, you know, police pulling over people, whatever. And they were called off the air. They're not on the air anymore because they destroyed evidence or footage of the police shooting an unarmed black man. And this airs every Friday on A&E.
Wow. Now, y'all know y'all too trigger happy to be doing anything live. That's what y'all niggas get.
It just goes to show you how much, you know, we don't know how many videos are out here or how much stuff is going on out here. Because, you know, I mean, it's just sad.
Yeah, it's just sad. And I know I said I'm keeping it light today, y'all, but I just wanted to let y'all know that Miles Cosgrove, Jonathan Mattingly, and Brett Hankinson are still getting paid and has still not been charged for the murder of Breonna Taylor. Just wanted to put that out there. So y'all know what y'all need to do. They need to be charged for murdering that girl. As more and more stories come out about her, her character, the people that loved her and stuff like that, that girl had no business dying, especially since her boyfriend wasn't even the criminal that y'all was trying to paint him to be. All the whole story just fell apart. And Louisville police, y'all really, really fucked this one up. And y'all really, really need to clean house. I'm talking about from top to bottom. I want the mayor fired. I want the chief of police fired. I want everybody in all y'all police departments and precincts, everybody fired. Everybody that co-signed this. I want the autopsy reporter fired. I want everybody out. Y'all all need to be out because y'all did this to this girl. Y'all ruined somebody's life. Y'all took somebody's baby away from them. For no reason.
And her mom has been handling it just such with grace and class. Every time I see her doing an interview or, you know, talking to people about what's going on, she's just, you know, of course she's sad, but she's, Black people always, you know, have to put up a great face, but it's sad. This girl lost her life. Almost the same age over nothing.
Over nothing. And in the wake of the movement, NASCAR decided to ban all drivers from using the Confederate flags on their racetracks. This decision was made 2 days after Bubba Wallace, who is the only Black NASCAR driver, y'all, by the way, the only one. He told NASCAR that it was time for them to make a change. So shout out to Bubba. I don't know who you are, but you know, you sound Black. Anyway, in response to this, NASCAR driver Ray Ciccarelli, I don't even know or give a fuck if I'm pronouncing your name right, because fuck you. He announced that he's quitting NASCAR because he's not allowed to fly his Confederate flag anymore. He finished his career with 0 wins. So sayonara ass face and fuck your long ass tone deaf rant shaming kneeling during the anthem and banning the flag. You fucking dumbasses. You still don't get it. You still don't get it. So go ahead and stay home. I guess collect your unemployment, you know, since you ain't working no more. Holla back.
July 31st. I don't know what you're going to do.
Okay, ain't no more stimulus checks, bitch.
Girl, I have no words.
I don't either. Fuck you, Ray. Anyway, that's it for the water cooler, y'all. All right, y'all. So today for our Down to Business segment, we have the beautiful Miss Deja Monet, who is a social activist and advocating for justice for our community. At least that's what her social media says. Hi, Deja.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Good. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you guys for inviting me.
Of course.
So we know you've been out here in these streets protesting, making your voice heard every day. That's right. We're going to plug your social media so people can know where to follow you at the end. But I kind of want you to talk about what got you into wanting to be an activist. And what was that trigger point that made you say, okay, I need to be doing this for my people?
So actually it's really funny. So I went to a HBCU, Texas Southern University in Houston, my HBCU. I love it so much. And I took a political science course with he was my favorite professor. He passed away 2 years ago. So rest in peace. But I took a political science course with him and I didn't know much about politics or like the Black community. Because unfortunately, growing up, the school system that we have now, they don't teach us the truth. So coming out of high school, I'm just like, okay, I know this, 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 and this. But going to a HBCU and taking a political science course, he just shed so much light on like the importance of just being educated within a community. Also, while I was in Houston, the Sandra Bland death had happened. So that right there stood out to me. I went to the protest that happened at PV. I started going to, like forums and conversations with panels and stuff. So that was the trigger. So in between my political science class and my, professor, and Sandra Bland's death, I was like, okay, so this is what he's talking about. I think it takes for people to actually, they can hear it all day, right? And they can see it all day. But when it's actually like close to you, and the fact that I was in Houston, it's like, oh, like this is real, you know? Cause sometimes you just see stuff on TV and you're like, oh, that will never happen to me. Or like, oh, you know, it happens, but I've never seen it. So I don't really care much. It took for me to go to my HBCU, for me to have a professor who was also, a city council member, for the Houston City Council Board. He was a professor at a HBCU, and for Sandra Bland's death to happen, for me to be triggered. I wouldn't necessarily say, I was like oblivious to stuff, but I just didn't know like the effect it could have on people. Cause we watch the news and the news portrays like, you know, African-Americans as, thugs or like always into something as criminals. But just seeing like, as I got older and I started to learn the truth, like, you know, that mainstream media, they gonna show you the narrative they want y'all to see. But they won't put the facts, the truth behind it. So once I seen like that and I, and wiser, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is it. Like, I need to be vocal about this because it just didn't feel right. I don't ever want to have children or my brother. I have a little brother who's 22 years old. He lives in Atlanta. So, and he's a tall 6'4" with dreads. I don't ever want to get that phone call like, hey, he's been killed by a police officer, or he was stopped by a police officer and they were scared, so they killed him. You know, like, I never right. want to hear that. So that's where I'm like, okay, I need to be vocal because we need to come up with some solutions. We're going to defund these police officers. We're going to educate our Black men and women, because it's not just Black men. We're going to educate them how to deal with police officers, how to sign petitions and fight for policies so we can defund the police officers, you know? So it just, my learning experience and that experience to Sandra Bland just, you know, kind of woke me up. And the name Deja Monet, the social activist, that just came on, I want to say like a year after I started being vocal, because I didn't consider myself as an activist. It was just something that I was passionate about, because I knew it was wrong. Like, it just didn't feel right to me, seeing that people of color die just because they're Black and brown. So, the name just actually came like after I was being vocal. Like, I had a lot of support in my support system from people that I didn't even know. Like, I had supporters from out of state that they would follow me on like my social media, and they're like, you're an activist. And I'm like, okay. But at first it didn't start off as, oh, I'm going to be an activist. It was just, I'm passionate about something. I don't like it. Let me be vocal.
Oh, that was your calling, honey. That was your calling. Yeah.
I've run into so many people who say that. And it's just, it's, God is so funny, because I never thought that I would be known as an activist or trying to go to law school. Originally, when I went to Texas Southern University, I was a chemistry major trying to get into pharmacy school. So my whole, like, life and career path has transitioned into politics and law. And it's just funny how you create like a passion, and then you just, I mean, I'm just hungry for it. Like, let me educate people so that way we can make a difference. We can be the change. So I think so too, y'all.
For sure. So we've seen you out here in Dallas during the protest because of George Floyd. Can you explain how that experience has been? We know that, you know, we've talked about earlier how the police are, you know, invoking, you know, people to, you know, just, they're like making it worse, basically, for people who are protesting. What has your experience been out there like protesting for George Floyd?
Woo, child, I have a lot to say about the Dallas PD, but we're going to save that for another day, because I'm coming for them. But I'm coming fully loaded with documentation, like proposals for policy changes. I'm coming. Like, they have woken me all the way up. Okay. So, yeah. But as far as the protest, the very first protest I went to was like 2 weeks ago. It was on a Friday. My organization, The Next Action Generation, they put it together and it was at the headquarters. So I want to say this was probably like May 22nd, May 29th. I don't know, like a few weeks ago. I went there. I was angry about the case. When I couldn't even watch the video, y'all. Like, my stomach would not allow me to watch it. And I think it's because when I see stuff like that, I think about all the Black men I know, all the young kids that I know that will grow up to be Black men. And it just makes me cringe. So, I couldn't watch the whole video. I eventually did after the first protest, and I'll tell y'all why in a second. But, so I watched half of the video and I was upset, and I'm like, okay, no, like, we're going to protest. This is not okay. Like, the man was begging for his life. He called out for his mom. 8 minutes they were on his neck, and the whole time, like, I think the Asian cop was just like, oh, this is what happened when you're on drugs, or this is why you shouldn't use drugs. And I'm like, how ignorant can you be, and how, like, unsympathetic can you be to do this to somebody? The man is crying out for help. So I was angry. So that was my first emotion, and my reaction was, okay, we're going to a protest, because no, this is not okay. Like, this is the stuff I'm talking about. So in order for me to get people to understand why I'm so passionate about this, let me go get on the front line, because that's step one. Protesting is step one, and it's to gain national attention, which we did. So George Floyd was the biggest civil rights movement protest that had happened in history. All 50 states protest, and 18 countries, it might be more now, but 18 countries also protest for him. So yes, he did change the world. This was the biggest civil rights protest. So now that we have national attention, like, now we go to step two. But at those protests, it was filled with so many emotions from different people. Like, you had older Black men out there. You had the young kids there with their fathers, and they're screaming, like, I can't breathe, or Black Lives Matter. And for them to have to say that at a young age, and the fact that they don't know 100% what's going on, but they have to be taught that, it was heartbreaking. But that also motivated other protesters, like, no, we have to change this for the future, because these little kids should never have to be in a situation like that. And although they don't understand now, they'll understand as they get older, like, oh, I remember I was 6 years old at a protest, you know. Hopefully it dies down and we can change all of that. But it's heartbreaking to see. It's bittersweet. It's good to see that there are people of different ages there and different races. I was going to touch on that too. I love how it's been very diverse, which I think social media and it being diverse played a big part on why this George Floyd's protest blew up. But it's very bittersweet, because when you're there, it's so many emotions. You have people crying, you have people angry, you have people like shouting, and, you know, it's very, very emotional. So for me, I just took it in as, like, you can't stop until you make a change. Like, you can't stop until they make a policy to where Black men don't have to be scared when they step outside of their house. You have to be able to make a change. So it gave me fire, but I was also very angry. So that was the first day I protested. I want to say maybe on the third day, I was overwhelmed, because, you know, Black people still have to wake up and go to work the next day. And right. See, people don't think about that. You know, like, they think that they just see it on the news and they're like, oh, it's okay, it'll pass over. But, like, this is our life. Like, this is not a trend. This is not something that has just happened. This has been happening.
I love how you're so solution oriented, because I feel like a lot of people in the movement aren't solution oriented. They like to focus you know, on the past, what we did in the past, how we protested in the past. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, me personally, I don't think that that helps us. I really feel like, and I know you agree with me because you have this posted on your social media, but like, we need to control our commerce. We need to, you know, circulate back dollars. So as far as next steps for you, what does that look like? What does that look like in form of protesting and what you are trying to get done as a social activist?
I want us to rebirth our community. And in order to do that, we need to organize. I think that will probably be the challenge for us, because when I say organize, I mean like rebirth everything. So we need to support each other with everything, every avenue, everything. So that way we can build that trust against like within each other, and then we can be stronger towards like other communities. We also need to vote. That is super important. And I know like most people don't really care about voting, but I actually had an event today, a voters registration drive in Dallas. And a lot of people of color were just like, well, to be honest, I don't vote because I wasn't taught any of this stuff. Like I wasn't in this environment to know what it means or the importance of it. And that kind of made me sad, because I'm like, man, you know, like, this is how we get people in office. This is how we get people out of office, especially local elections, because they are the people that will make a change in our community that we'll see directly. So people from like mayors to council members to police chiefs, everything that can direct affect us directly, that happens in local elections. But when we don't vote, we don't see any changes. So then that's when we go to social media and we're just like, oh, well, this needs to change. And this needs to change. And it's like, vote, you know? So I think the first step would be organizing within the community. We need to sit down and like figure out how can we be better as a community before we ask other people to help us as a community. We need to buy Black, support each other to where it's profitable for our sister or brother. So buy Black. I know that's kind of hard because I've struggled with it as well. And I'm just going to be real, you know, some Black owned businesses have poor customer service, but that's okay. That's something that can be worked on. And that's why we continue to educate each other. So support each other through all of that. Even if the customer service is horrible, don't hold it to them, because they don't know, you know, they don't know that we've just been in that environment. And sadly, our environment made us to be like that, you know? So and organizing.
Honestly, I would rather buy something from someone with poor customer service than purchase something from someone who's going to give my money to a racist organization. Yep. Or this bitch ass president.
Yep. And you know, me too, but people don't think like that. You want to know why? They're like, oh no, they were rude, so I'm not going back. They're not getting my money. But you're going to give it to somebody that doesn't even care about you. They play nice because they want your money, but they don't care about you. You know, so you need to just buy Black, because honestly, at the end of the day, we are all we have. We understand the struggle of being Black and brown. You know, we understand what it's like to be Black and brown. So why should we give that away to somebody else who can't even understand us and most likely won't support us if we cry out for help, if we ask for allies to like help us, you know? So I think that's important, buying Black. Organizing
and honestly, keeping it real, I'm sorry to cut you off, but keeping mm-hmm. it real, a lot of these other stores that y'all go to, these Asian hair stores and nail salons and the Arab corner stores and shit, they treat us bad, but y'all keep bad. Going back.
Yep.
Because it's unacceptable to accept poor customer service from another Black. How dare you?
Yep.
But yep. I'm gonna accept poor customer service from, you know, I don't even want to name it because I'm sound as ignorant as, you know, they sound when they make up names for their culture. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's, I feel like that is the mindset of most Black people. And we really need to get out of that.
Yeah, we need to break that. And it's going to be so hard because the system was kind of created for us to be against each other. And this goes back to like a history educational trip. But if you go back to slavery, you know, we had some slaves that would kiss the master's ass and like go tell on another person and they would get treated good, right? While the other slave gets whipped or whatever. So after slavery, we still weren't free. We still weren't free. They put us in environments that didn't have, that was limited to resources. So now when we see a black man or a black woman coming up because we're hungry or we don't have anything, what are we going to do? We're going to go steal from them or we're going to go rob them. So the system kind of created us to be against each other when really like we should be working together. So it's a mindset that goes back like years ago, and we need to break it because that's one of the reasons like we are not progressing. I'm not gonna say we haven't progressed at all because we have. Like we have entrepreneurs now, we have people getting in office, like, you know, it's coming back. But those little things like that, that mindset is one of the things that set us back.
Speaking of, I was gonna mention that while we've been sitting here talking, you know, about, you know, what the solutions that we can do, buying black and, you know, supporting each other and all of that. It's very hard because I also, shout out, I went to HBCU, girl, and hey. I went to Clark Atlanta University.
Yes.
And like you, I was also woke from one of my professors. Like, I was like, but I didn't go to the extreme that you went. Unfortunately, I didn't. I should have. But, and like you were saying, this goes back, it's a mindset. It goes back 400, 500 years, however many years it was. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, how can we get it? It's not our fault, you know, ultimately, because like you said, they pinned us against each other. You know, some slaves wanted to go, was in the big house with Massa. And some slaves out there, you know, just being real out there, just picking cotton. So, you know, we, like you said, we've been pinned against each other for so long. How do we get out of the mindset of not doing that when that's all we've been taught for so long? It's like you want to, you know, rally around and buy black and do all of this. But, you know, it's like if it's five of us that are wanting to do that and the majority of us that are not, who want to go and buy Gucci and go and buy Louis and do all of that and stay broke, that's a whole nother conversation. But don't even got, you know, $1,000 coming in their bank account every 2 weeks. You know, how do we... I'm just saying.
Did you read America?
she did.
Like, how do we... I'm with you. Like, I'm with both of you. I really want us to... It's about supporting each other and banding together. Because if we came together, we could... the black dollar means everything to every corporation. That's why a lot of these companies, I feel, are clout chasing and, oh, Black Lives Matter. But they
let's get into that conversation.
They don't want to lose black dollar.
Because it's powerful. And that's what black people don't, well, some black people know, but not all. We make up the most, I think, black dollars together, if I'm not mistaken, so don't criticize me if I get the number off, but I think it's $1.2 trillion in the economy. That's black people pouring into that. So if we could just pull that out and start our own, you know, community, like we would have so much money, like rotating and cycling, like within the community, but it's hard. And it's hard because for one, I read this book once where it was like, you know, black people want to feel accepted by white people, right? So they go out and they buy all these expensive things just so they can be accepted. Like, oh, okay, he has money. So he must be good. Or, okay, she has money. So she must be good. Right. But really it's a tactic that the system used to keep us down because most likely, like you said, they don't have money coming in. So they're going to go spend their last just to have that image, just so they can be accepted by another race versus pouring that in to something that can be beneficial and profitable for the community. That's one. Two, it's hard for Black people to get businesses, and the system is set up like that. We get denied business loans more than other races do. We don't really know like financial literacy that well, which we weren't taught that, which goes back to the systematic racism with the education system. And also like the areas that we do want to have our business in, they tax it so much and make it so expensive, knowing that, okay, most likely we're not going to get approved for that business loan to even cover, to be put in a good location to where it has revenue coming in, you know? So it's like strategically planned. We're going to give them this certain amount. And because it's that certain amount, they can only find a location in this area, which doesn't have much revenue coming in, you know? So it's very, very hard. It's challenging and it's frustrating, but I believe like one day we are going to get it. I think with this generation now, it's so many entrepreneurs out there. And I think like this is the revolution. I think it's a start to a different cycle.
Okay, to freedom. That's what I heard you saying.
Yeah.
So what is your next chapter? Like what things do you have, if you can tell us, what things do you have planned? What things are you putting in motion to make sure that these ideas that you have come to fruition?
So it's so funny. The past 2 weeks I've been networking like crazy with big time organizations or like smaller organizations or people that have like big platforms. I think the second step of action, because first step is protest, is to get as many people informed so that way we can create petitions, right? So as y'all know, if we didn't have these videos and people didn't see these Black men and Black women being killed, we wouldn't have any justice, right? So I'm going to use that to let's create a policy or a proposal for a policy and get as many signatures as possible so they can actually see, okay, it's human beings behind this. It's human beings that want to see this change. So if I go to the city hall with a proposal that has 5,000 signatures, you can't ignore that because that's 5,000 people saying, okay, here's the issue. Now where's the change? So I'm more so on that level, but I also want to give back to my community and just teach the youth because that is our future. So I'm working with a city council member. We're trying to get more people involved. It's probably going to be a stretch, but God is on our side. I'm actually working on trying to get a community center open for kids, minority kids, so that way they can have a center to go to that has resources such as tutoring and educational advisors, counselors, therapy, you know, things of that nature. So that way we can kind of cater to our youth because those, like, we're getting older and that's going to be our future. And if we don't teach them while they're young, then they're going to be lost when they get to our age or get to that mental state to where they're trying to figure it out. They're going to be lost and we can't feed them to the world that's, you know, racist or have stereotypes against them because they're going to lead them wrong. So I'm coming with policies. I'm trying to come with community buildings to affect our youth. And I'm just going to be as vocal as possible, organized, like with other organizations to give back to the community, do panels. That's going to be my next project, to put together a panel to educate people on voting, because a lot of people don't understand the importance of voting, or they don't understand like the representatives that are that they're voting for and how all of that works. So I'm just trying to educate people and also make changes with policies. And with my policies, I'm going to have petitions behind it with a certain amount of signatures so that way it can't get ignored.
This is awesome. It's awesome. The work that
Thank
you're doing.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah. And I'm so glad we were able to get in contact with you so that we can see you prosper and create all of these policies and petitions and all this stuff comes to fruition for you. I really see it. And this
Thank
is awesome.
Thank y'all. I'm going yeah. to law school. I'm trying to apply for law school. My goal is to apply for 10 law schools by the end of this year because I'm going to become a lawyer. I'm going to represent minorities because, as we know, they make legal representation so expensive and so high, and they know that brown people and black people can't afford it, which is why half of our brothers are sitting in jail right now because they can't afford legal representation. I got them. Like, I'm coming full flesh, like, swing, y'all. I'm swinging when I come out of here. So,
girl, if you can see my praise hands over here, when I tell you, you spit that hot fire, you come for everybody's neck. I'm with it. Like, you are going to be a lawyer. That's right, Ms. Monet, JD.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, so if I can use my platform to just inspire, like, other people and just encourage them to, like, be vocal, because we have it. We have it in us. They just want us to be silenced. And that's... And I feel like that's why they wanted us to be quiet, because they see that, okay, they have something in them. And if they come together, like, we gonna be up out of here. So they try to throw things in there for us to, like, not be focused, like, put us in the hood or environments and know that it's gonna be fights, it's gonna be people robbing, because you're only giving us limited supplies. Where else are we supposed to go to get it, you know? So they just throw things out there to try to slow us down. But if I can just encourage one person and motivate one person, and they have this same fire that I have, that's all it takes. Cause then they can go inspire somebody else. And it's like a domino effect. So that's why my voice will never be silenced. I've gotten some mean Instagram messages, but guess what? I'm not going to be silent at all whatsoever. So, as long as I'm vocal and as long as I'm doing things in the community where people can actually see me and actively see me making a change, then I'm satisfied, because I'm going to change one person's life before I pass away. Somebody is going to have the same fire I have, and they're going to do the same thing I'm doing, which is going to inspire other people.
And for y'all motherfuckers in them Instagram concerts, I'm sorry, not the Instagram concerts, but the Instagram comments. If y'all touch her, we riding.
For all real.
Straight like that.
All day.
Burn his fucking kitty down on split. But I'm not playing.
No, for real. Yeah, we coming together as a community. So.
Yeah. If black, and I just want to add this to what you're saying, Deja. If black people knew their history and they knew that they were kings and queens, I feel like they would, you know, feel totally different. It's all about your history. And if you're going in and going to educate these people about where they actually came from, I'm not talking about slavery, I'm talking about BC and all of that. Yep. If you tell them you were a king, you were a queen, we created everything. Black people created everything. Things were stolen from us and brought over here to the Caucasus Mountains and these Caucasians. Yep. So if y'all understand where you came from, we can take it back and we can, like you said, rule the world. They're scared. They're obviously scared. They know we have something in us. That's why they fight so hard to pit us against each other.
And they don't teach us that. They don't teach us that growing up. They give us Christopher Columbus. Come on. They give us stuff like that. Like, no, let's be real. Why don't you put the facts out there? And I just, that's why my goal is to hit the youth, because they are starting when we come out the womb, they are starting. So we just have to make sure we empower each other and continue to research and read and just educate each other, because they're not going to put it in those history books. And if you think about it, we go through 12 years, well, from pre-K all the way to high school senior, learning absolutely nothing. We get, after we graduate high school, what can we apply, like, in real life situations within those 12 years that we went? Well, it's more than 12 years, but within the schools that we went, what can we apply to, like, real life situations? They need to teach us about taxes. They need to teach us about credit. They need to teach us about financial literacy, the real black history, how to start a business, you know, nonprofit, stuff like that. They need to teach us stuff that we can actually use.
We need our own schools, honestly.
We do. And that's why I encourage all people to go to HBCUs. Yes. Because I'm telling you, they have that stigma on HBCUs. I actually went to HBCU and a PWI, and they told me, like, my credits weren't even on the same level, the academic level, as a PWI. So I had to retake classes just to get my degree. But we need our own schools. They try to put that stigma on HBCUs, like, oh, they're not credible, or their learning level is like beneath ours. That's not true, because my HBCU changed my life. I learned so much by just being at a HBCU. So I think all kids need to go to HBCUs. These athletes that are getting scholarships do not go
to D1 schools.
Do not go to D1 schools. Put that back into a HBCU, because those are going to be the people rooting for you. That's going to be the people fighting for you. Those other schools, those D1 schools, they don't care. You bringing them money. But what y'all getting? You know?
Literally nothing. They don't even get paid. They don't even
get paid at all.
Yeah. All they get is a scholarship. And that's that, you know? So why not give a Black school that credit? But anyway, like you just said, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and there was a young Black man. I hate I don't have his name, but he was once committed to a huge D1 school, and he decided to go to Alcorn State, which I believe is the HBCU. And I'm like, okay, so it begins. Everybody else follows suit. We would have these white people on their knees. What do you mean? Black Lives Matter. Oh, you guys aren't being treated fairly. Well, what can we do to get you treated fairly? Because we need your $3 trillion or however many trillion dollars back. We need your Black ass athletes back in our school. We need your Black ass brains in our corporation. We need your Black ass faces on the covers of our stuff so Black people can shop here. So they need us. We need to get on one accord. I'm talking about on code, everybody. We need to put our Black skin first. The things that separate us are what's keeping us separated. We have too many people wrapped up in, oh, they're from a different tribe, or they from this island. I'm from this island, or we don't like Black Americans. Mm-hmm. We don't like Africans. They're gay. They're disabled. You're worried too much about stuff that does not matter. Got on one accord and put our Black skin first, we could shut this shit down. The entire diaspora. I'm talking about from the Aboriginals in Australia all the way up to the Dominican Republic, where y'all are Black. Everybody, we would have them on their fucking knees.
I'm about to speak in tongues on this.
We would. Yeah. And it's most coaches, D1 coaches, their salary is like over $1 million. And if you look at some college students, they don't even have money to like eat, like outside of their school plan, the college plan that they have, they don't even have money to go eat or go buy groceries for their dorm, you know? So they should pay them. We're bringing in all this money. You train us, you work us, and we entertain y'all.
Because y'all make groceries with our names on them and sell them for money. We don't see it. And we're up here asking for ramen noodles. What the fuck is, oh my goodness.
Yep. And I wanted to touch on earlier, you all were talking about how corporations is kind of following the trend. I agree. I feel like these big time corporations are only being vocal because they need our money.
Sorry.
And I feel like because this happened during a pandemic, we have all the free time in the world to be on social media, and social media took off with all of these protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, and now they want to talk about it. But this has been going on for years. So where were you when Trayvon Martin got killed? Where were you when Sandra Bland got killed? Like, all of these people that have died before this year, why weren't y'all vocal then? Why are y'all being vocal now? And I'm not going to say all of them, because some of them might be genuine, but I just think that they're following the trend. So let's see if they're still about it a month from now or 2 months from now.
Girl, it's so trendy. The Kardashians, one of them gonna pop out with a bedazzled Black Lives Matter shirt. I'm just waiting on
you. You lying.
That's crazy.
I'm just bullshitting.
For real? I'm like, nah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like, that's crazy.
No, I'm waiting on them to pop out with one. You know they gonna do it. You know they gonna do it.
Girl,
they stay on our bumper. They stay on our trends.
They
and this
do.
Is just another one. This is just another one.
Yeah, they jock our culture so much, down from the hairstyles to to the clothes to the lips. You go get lip injections to have our features. You want to your music, you know, y'all all got a little bass and bob in y'all music, but you don't want to stand up and fight for us and for our cause. But you jock everything in our culture.
Right. You want to be black, but you don't want to be black.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're going to be black and fight with us.
Exactly. Damn right. So Deja, right. Thank you again so much for being on our show. Before you go, I want you to plug your social media because I feel like people who don't know, and you've been spitting nothing but knowledge, they can follow you and get more information on how they can do these things. You even have lawyers up who are doing pro bono cases for people who getting locked up protesting and stuff. So you just have a myriad of information on your social media. So please, please tell us, tell our followers where we can find you.
Yeah, so y'all can follow me on Instagram at Deja Monet. So that's D-A-J-A-I Monet, M-O-N-A-E. I also have a website, which is www.dejamonet.org. And I post blogs on there, the same content that's on my Instagram, but I just elaborate a little more. And you can also follow my page on Facebook at Deja Monet. So everything is Deja Monet straight across the board, Facebook, Instagram, and my website.
And y'all remember that name because you're going to see her on the billboard telling y'all niggas to come out and vote.
Yes.
Yes. Monet, what, 2024?
Yeah, 2024. Speaking into existence, manifested, all of that. Y'all will see my name. Y'all will see my name for sure.
Oh, we know for sure. Thank you so much, Deja, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all for inviting me out. I love y'all. Y'all are funny. The conversation was genuine, and y'all are the best, honestly, the best podcast I've been on.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
That makes me happy.
It's time for the break room.
It's the break room. It's the break room. What you gonna do? Girl, we finna spill all the tea.
Hey, hey, it's the break room.
What you gonna do?
All right, y'all. Well, did you watch Insecure? Dana, okay. Everybody, we all listening. We got our ears to get your ears to the in your ear pod. Dana, did you watch Insecure? Yes or no?
Oh my God, y'all. I'm so sorry. Listen, I'm a mom.
Oh, no, okay? We ain't moving it all.
That's no excuse, but no, I'm so far behind y'all. I swear to God, y'all, and I'm being real. So this is a real transparent moment here. Y'all know what I watch 24/7? Akili and Me. My babies love Akili and Me. It's like it's a black learning cartoon on YouTube. That's all I know. Akili, 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 Akili.
You know what? I can't even hate on that. You gotta do what the babies want because they run out. So
what's going on?
But you know what's so good about it is that, you know, you need to catch up, and it's been so good. You could just binge watch and like you're gonna be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I am looking forward
to
binge watching.
And I hate to talk about it every week for you and ruin it, but I mean, it's still good.
Okay. No, you're not ruining it.
So can it get any better than this? The people that are yelling at the phone or at whatever you listening to me on. Tomorrow, which would have already come out, but tomorrow's the season finale. What's today? 6/14, Sunday is coming out. I feel like, how though? Because the season, I feel like it went by so fast. Like, it
flew by. And they gave us extra episodes this year, and it still felt hella short. Yeah, I think they gave us 10 episodes this year, and they usually
do like 8. Like, when I say it feels like, I guess when, you know, time flies when you're having fun, so.
But them 30 minutes,
they need to go. Somebody said in the comments, because I go and stalk Issa's comments and Yvonne Origin's comments, but they were saying that it needs to be an hour. But anyway, Insecure was so good, y'all. this episode, I'm so looking forward to the next episode, because like last week's episode came on, I'm like, it has to be a dream. I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. My eyes are not, this can't be real. But like Issa and Lawrence are kicking it. When I say kicking it, that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to ruin it, but they are kicking it. And, you know, we thought that Molly and Issa were going to reconcile, and they actually didn't. It was kind of like, we might need to go our separate ways. So this next episode is the end of the episode, and there are a lot of things that are going on in the preview, so you really don't know, but it looks like it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? So I'm really excited about that, and we'll watch and we'll talk about it next week.
Is it bad that I'm not too mad that Issa and Molly aren't?
Girl, no. I think everybody is like, fuck Molly.
Because I'm kind of over Molly. Like, I don't think she's a good friend. I feel like, I just dislike women who decide to get better because of a man. Like, what is wrong with you? You should be healing your person before then. And that's the energy that I feel from Molly. Like, she's so wrong that she's right. So where she feels like. And I just think that, I feel like the and I might be totally wrong, and of course Issa is a character, but the path that she's going in life, she probably doesn't need somebody like Molly that's just so negative and just thinks so less of her, even as a quote-unquote friend. You know, I don't have tolerance for quote-unquote friends. You know, I cut a bitch off real quick like you never fucking existed, ho. And that's what I would have done if I was Issa, because how the fuck you gonna be mad at me? For not, y'all know the story. Yeah, y'all know the story.
For sure. Anyway. And, you know, in this last episode, Issa was trying to reconcile with Molly, and she just was not trying. Like, she was not trying. So, you know, at one point, Issa was just like, you know, when they decided that they might need to go their separate ways, Issa was like, look, maybe we don't need to continue, because it feels like I'm the only one that's trying in this friendship. So we'll see how it all the way plays out. I'm hoping that Lawrence and Issa, you know, stay with it, because I really need them to get married and have kids one day.
And I know people, like, y'all go through it with y'all friends or some shit, but some things your quote-unquote friends aren't supposed to do. And when you start seeing behaviors and shit like that, you probably need to just exit stage left. Whatever their growth is or whatever their issues is, it probably don't have nothing to do with you. You probably just need to move yourself out the way and let them do their growth on their own time. But I wouldn't have nobody like Molly bringing me down. And Molly is obviously on a different path in life. You know, she got her due, so she's doing her thing or whatever. And maybe one day she'll realize how horrible of a friend she was to Issa. And not saying she was totally horrible, but if you watched every season, like, she's always got some shit to say. She's always hella negative. She always throwing some shit in Issa's face. It's like, damn, bitch, are you my friend? Like, for real. So, like, I'm just over that energy, and maybe, you know, it's just me personally, but I'm just overseeing and entertaining.
It's not everybody
like that.
But anyway, on to some Netflix shows that came out recently that you guys need to watch. Actually, this one is not really a recent, but it's kind of resurfacing now. Have you seen or heard about 13th Amendment on Netflix?
The 13th that Ava DuVernay recorded?
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
Ava DuVernay, so you have seen it. It is so good. Yeah. It's so good. If you have not watched it, I was actually looking at, I watched Ava DuVernay on Ellen. She had her on there because now, you know, with everything going on, it's resurfacing and it's starting to trend now. So if you guys have not watched that, it's about mass incarceration and how the 13th Amendment basically lawfully allows states to enslave us if we're considered criminals. It came out in 2016, but, you know, that. And then also Dave Chappelle's special is on Netflix. It's about him winning the highest comedy award, the Mark Twain Honor. Have you seen that, Dana?
You know what? I did watch 13 minutes of it. Is that
girl,
what
you're talking about? You and this 13 minutes or this? I watched a snippet.
I got kids.
Oh my gosh. No. Good. No, you're good. But what were you saying about the Dave Chappelle special?
No, wasn't it when he was talking about the George Floyd protests when they were all in the audience wearing masks, no, right? But he does actually have a special where he has a little, it's like 30 minutes long where he's talking about
George Floyd. Okay, well, I need to watch that. Thank you for plugging it. I have not watched that. What is it on YouTube?
Yes, okay, on YouTube.
Okay, yeah. No, this is just about him winning the Mark Twain honor, the highest comedy award. Yeah. But I think it is well deserved. And Dave Chappelle is woke, y'all. If y'all know, Dave Chappelle is really woke. So watch that also on Netflix. New music that's out. Lil Baby got another. Y'all remember last week I talked about how a lot of these artists are coming out with songs to, you know, that's a resemblance of the times that we're in right now. Lil Baby has a song out called The Bigger Picture. He also has a video out. You saw that?
Yes. I saw the video. I heard the song. I'm like, gone, Lil Baby. He did that. Yes, I love him too. I really do.
Also, on to trolling. Speaking of trolling, trolls, Tekashi 6ix9ine and Nicki Minaj, they have a song out. Well, I guess it's Tekashi 6ix9ine's and then it's Nicki Minaj's featured on it, but it's called Trolls. The video is a mess. The song, I don't like it, so... And by the way, there was a picture that surfaced on Instagram of Nicki Minaj. She looked real 4 months.
You said real 4 months.
She looking real pregnant. Did you see? First of all, have you heard the song, Dana? And have you seen the video? What are your thoughts about that?
Girl, I'm not entertaining that bullshit. I don't give a fuck about Tekashi 6ix9ine. I don't even care about him or Nicki enough to click on the link to the video to see if the bitch pregnant. Like, I'll just find out when she make a goddamn announcement. And if she don't make one, I'm not going to find out because I'm not watching that motherfucking video. I'm not giving that nigga no streams. I hope somebody snatch his motherfucking lace front off.
Girl, yeah, you know he do got a lace front on that, Chad.
Bitch.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, they got the most hip hop video views on YouTube ever in history.
Of course.
They have 66 million views. Like, it's ridiculous. I still don't understand why people are supporting this man. But anyway, moving on to DaBaby. He has a song out. Now, this song isn't new. It's DaBaby featuring Roddy Ricch. It's called Rockstar. But he came out with a Rockstar BLM remix. So he just like remixed his original song to, you know, correct.
For Black Lives Matter.
So that's cool. And lastly, we all love Boosie, okay? Boosie ain't got no song out, but I just want to leave y'all with the fact that Boosie is upset that Chuck E. Cheese is closing down.
What? Wait a minute, what?
Boosie went on his live and was like distraught because Chuck E. Cheese is bankrupt. They filed bankrupt. And so now they're about to close like supposedly all of these locations, allegedly. And so he went on his Instagram live and he was just like, you know, my baby gonna be upset because we can't go to Chuck E. Cheese no more, you know, his little accent or whatever. So he went on there.
Nigga, what?
He was like, you know, they got the best pizza and wings. I can't believe they closed it down. Not Chucky. He said, not Chucky,
nigga. Who would have thought that homophobic bastard loved Chuck E. Cheese?
Girl, that's what I'm saying. So, y'all scroll past or y'all want to go to Boosie's Instagram, just, I don't know, give him a heart or a pizza emoji on his comments. Maybe that'll make him feel better.
What have you been listening to, though?
I have been listening to, you know what, y'all? This week at work has been kind of really busy and all over the place. So I haven't really had a chance to listen to a lot of stuff. But Lil Baby, like, I'm really into him right now. Like, I really like his song, Emotionally Scared. His new album, what is his new album called? I'm like looking for my phone. His new album, I can't remember what the name of his new album is called, but I mean, it's not new. I guess it's not new, but I've been listening to Lil Baby, and then I'm still listening to Roddy Ricch. I know that's old. And you know what? Recently, I have actually gone back. Y'all know I told y'all I got Spotify now because I stopped the membership on Apple. And what I love about Spotify is the fact that they have different playlists from like the 2000s, from the 99 and the 2000s. So I've really been on like listening to like Nelly and Ludacris and old Usher. And speaking of Usher and Ludacris and Lil Jon have a new song called Sex Beat. I don't know if y'all heard that. Yeah, what? It's like you know how they came out with Lovers and Friends a long time ago?
So this is called Sex Beat.
I actually like it. It's really-
That does not sound like something I would like to do. That sounds like painful sex. Or what? Like, or I'm getting beat. What is this about? These names of songs.
Lovers and Friends to Sex Beat, child. I actually like the song, you know, but yeah, I've been listening to like a lot of old school playlists. And, you know, since this quarantine and everybody been in the house, I don't really hear a lot of music that I like, the new music that's coming out. I don't really hear anything that's like catching my eye. I mean, so, but I've been listening to Lil Baby and just a lot of old music. I guess that's now considered old school, our old 2099 songs. So that's what I'm listening to. What about you?
Akili.
I'm so done with you, Dana. I can't.
Girl, let me get off this recording today. I'm tripping.
Well, y'all. That's all I have for the break room, bath.
Thank you guys so much for listening to us this week. And damn, sending in all these fuck yous. Like, y'all are the bomb. Like, seriously. We really appreciate it. And we're going to get to everyone, we promise. So, that's all I had. Did you have any news?
I have no news. Oh, I do have one bit of news. I want you guys, for a shout out for Black businesses. There is a Black business that I think is so interesting and tight, and who would have thought of this? They have Band-Aids. It's not called Band-Aid.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's called Brown-Ages.
Yeah, Brown-Ages.
They're called Brown-Ages, and instead of going to get Band-Aid, you can get Brown-Ages, and they're color flesh tone for us. Speaking of, did y'all see, I'm sorry, it's like I'm going back to the water cooler, but since I'm mentioning that, did y'all see Band-Aid came out with flesh tone Band-Aid?
99 years too late, bitch. We using Brown-Ages. Bye.
No, that's all I got to say. If y'all have a scratch, please use Brown-Ages. Don't use Band-Aid no more. That's all I got. I can't.
Thank you guys so much for listening to us this week. We'll be back next week with more shit. And as always, send your fuck yous in to our website and our email at blackandworkpod.com. Any questions, comments, or whatever, you know, hit us up in DMs, Instagram, social media, all of that. We'll be back next week, folks. Bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.